Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Among us, the Word of God holds a special place. We cherish His Word because this is how God comes to us. What does God's Word do? It is the very power of creation. And it is by hearing God's Word that the Holy Spirit gives us faith. And it is how God comes to us today. In this parable, Jesus tells us that the seed is His Word. And we are sure and confident of this because this is what our Lord Jesus has said about this in Scripture. But the devil also knows this. The devil would like nothing more than to take the Word of God from you. Even in God's perfect creation, the devil was already actively working against the Word of God. In the book of Genesis, the devil asked the very first question ever recorded in history. Did God really say? And this is the devil's oldest and his most used lie. With a cursory viewing of the History Channel, you may be bombarded by programs that either question the veracity of Scripture or they claim that some new gospel has been found which contradicts the canon of Holy Scripture. Some even speculate that the divine works of God, which are described in Scripture, are the work of space aliens. And all of these are lies from the devil himself. Along with this lie is the woke narrative, which the devil uses to twist and to pervert the Word of God. Satan has not abandoned his old ancient lie, and he still attempts to destroy God's Word. The devil will outrightly try to subvert the Word of God and take it away. And this is the seeds that fell upon the path that were trampled underfoot and snatched up by the birds. But the devil is more cunning than just an all-out visible assault on the Word of God. He knows that God's children cherish God's Word. They read it, and they learn it, and they inwardly digest it. And the devil tries to take the Word of God from you in a cunning way, by distraction. The devil does not want us to meditate upon the Word of God. How many of us have multiple copies of the Bible? Perhaps you even have it on your phone or your tablet. But it doesn't matter how many copies we have or the speed at which we can access God's Word if we don't actually read it. And sometimes we don't hear it. How many of us were distracted and suffered a wandering mind during the reading of the lessons this morning? The devil tries to distract us by sending misery and suffering into our lives to make us forget what God says, promises, and does. This is the seed that fell among the rocks. In the parable of the sower, some of the seeds fell among the thorns. And Jesus said that the thorns were the riches and pleasures of worldly life. And this is another way the devil tries to attempt to get us to abandon God's Word. For Christians, this is probably the most dangerous temptation. For old Adam loves the things and the possessions of this world. What the devil would like to do is to have us forget from whom all our earthly possessions and necessities come. We are tempted to forget that it is God Himself who provides our daily bread. So instead of receiving it in thanksgiving to God, we begin to think that we are the masters of our own financial destinies in our own lives. These thorns and weeds have an effect upon our faith and our lives in Christ together. Martin Luther wrote, "These people cannot say that they have the Holy Spirit, for they are the devil's own. He is their master. He reaches into their hearts and plucks out the word. The The result is their perversities. They are disobedient, dishonest, self-centered, proud, implacable, and greedy. They want everyone to be subservient to them, while they are unwilling to serve anyone. In contrast, where the word remains in the heart and the people diligently ponder it, there it fashions hearts which are pure, obedient, faithful, selfless, and ready to help, humble and gentle. Instead of keeping our prayers and thanksgiving focused on God, we are entranced by the material possessions of this world and led away from the church and God's word. In place of being thankful for what God has provided for us, we covet what our neighbor has. We foolishly try to store up things that perish instead of holding fast to that which is eternal. The word of God in Christ Jesus. A wise man once told me, "There are no trailer hitches on funeral hearses." The dangers of all these temptations which redirect our attention from Jesus and his word have eternal significance and threaten death and hell, even to good Christians. Remember, Jesus said, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Now, I know that many of us, upon hearing this parable of the sower, think about the soil, and we try to place ourselves within the parable. We ask ourselves the question, which soil am I? And I'm sure that there are many here who can identify with all the different types of soil at different times in their lives. But brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not about the soil. You see, we are all bad soil. Becoming a Christian does not make you good soil. This parable is not about you, and it's not about anything you can do. Those who have been attending adult Sunday school may recognize this as the semi-Pelagian heresy. Semi-Pelagianism is a heresy which simplified states that a person has something they can contribute to their salvation. This usually means that the prospective Christian has to offer some sort of decision, prayer, or to generate faith from within themselves to receive salvation. This is false, as God clearly tells us in Scripture that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Dead people cannot make decisions. Dead people cannot pray, and dead people cannot contribute any good works. For you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. God in Christ Jesus has done it all for us, and believing faith is a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. And this parable is about the sower and the seed that was sown. It is God's planting. Christ sows the word of God, and Christ becomes the good soil for us. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ. Jesus Christ does it all. In Christ, we die to ourselves and this world, and we arise to new life in him. And how good is the soil of Christ? It is so good that it will yield 100-fold, our text says. In ancient times, farmers would have been thankful to get a 20-fold yield. And what does this mean? Well, it means that on every acre, they planted a bushel of wheat seed, and they hoped to get 20 bushels of crop, which grew from that seed. And modern farmers are thankful when they get a 40-fold yield. But a 100-fold yield, now this is not an exact number, but it represents the impossibly high yield that no farmer can ever expect to achieve. For nothing is as profitable as God's word. This parable is not about the soil, but it's all about how great the sower and the seed is. If there's no seed, then there's no fruit and there's no crop. And good soil without seed produces nothing. Another thought we have as we hear this parable, and I know when I was a child, I thought the same thing. Well, isn't the sower being a little haphazard with his seed? He's just throwing it all over the place. I think modern farmers would balk at the thought of just throwing seed indiscriminately across their land. After all, seed is expensive, and they would only want to sow where they knew it would grow and be profitable. But in the text, the sower, Jesus, is not as careful with the seed. Jesus is not looking to maximize his crop, yet sowing the seed of God's word or preaching God's word is never wasted seed. Jesus is not into a show of numbers, but Jesus loves all people, and he sows his seed everywhere, even the hard places. The seed is the word, and all can have the word, for Christ died for the whole world. Jesus sows generously through his preaching, and he continues to do so through the reading and preaching of his word. And this parable does give comfort to all pastors and, for that matter, anyone who shares God's word with others. And though they sow God's word generously over all types of hearers, God gives the growth, and he alone is the changer of hearts. God alone does the work of salvation in people. He does this through the Holy Spirit, working through the preaching and the hearing of his word. What seed has more value than what was bought for us by Christ's death upon the cross? See, the world has nothing as valuable as the word of God. The same word of God at the beginning of creation is still with us today. Cling to the word of God for all its worth, even when it puts you at odds with the seeming reality of earthly life or what you think of yourself. We are all sinners. But we are all sinners with a substitute. On the cross, Jesus became the curse of sin for you, and he is your propitiation. The devil has no power over you. He would just like you to think that he does. But because of Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, the devil can no longer use death to make you afraid. And in your baptism, you were buried into the death of Jesus Christ, and you were raised with him in his resurrection. So cling to the cross of Christ with the faith that has been given to you by the Holy Spirit through the hearing of the word of Christ. God's word continues to be planted in you as you hear the lessons, you meditate on God's word, and you eat his holy supper. What God has promised in his word is reality, and it will not come back empty. We have no greater need than what God has given us in his word. We have everything we need in the word that was sown. In the name of Jesus.